It's a good time with Jesus, isn't it? It's a great time with Jesus. I have just a really simple word for this morning. So maybe we just kind of, it'll be quite short, and then maybe we do some ministry. that'd be good. The word is just, you go through seasons, and there was a lot of time where the Spirit was really emphasizing the goodness of God. And see, it's not that, of course, God isn't good, and we don't talk about that now. It's just that sometimes he brings a different emphasis, and we need to establish the goodness of God. But there is a moment for faith now. There's a moment for faith. And the verse that I felt the Lord really kind of gave me to kind of speak out of this morning, even though not totally sure where we'll go with it, is in Hebrews 4, verse 2. It says, "Indeed, we've had the good news preached to us, just as they did as well. But the word they heard didn't profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." And the word of God goes out. Jesus says it in the parable of the sower. The word of God goes out, and it produces fruit in some places, and it doesn't in others. And here we have a clue as to why in some places it produces fruit and others it doesn't, which is that the word that they heard got united with faith, and therefore it profited them. Now, the context of that verse is the illustration of the people of God in the Old Testament, who God has called out of slavery, and they've been in the wilderness, and they've been there for 2.5 years, and they stand on the edge of the promised land, and as they stand at the edge of the promised land looking in, they fail to unite the word that God has spoken over them in their hearts through faith. He said, "Go and do it." They look at it and say, "It can't be done." And they step back. And of course, the whole of that generation fails to make it into the promises of God. And it's not a condemning word, because there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but it is a challenging word to us. You see because faith starts with our hearing. Some of you have heard me say this before. It says faith comes by hearing, and so faith is not something where we believe for something impossible at all. sometimes we say that faith is because we believe for something impossible. That's faith. Or faith is not believing in something that you have no evidence for either, though sometimes that's what we call it. Faith is leaning on the word that God has spoken to us more than we lean on the inputs that the world shows us. That's what faith is. Where God has spoken, that's why faith can't come without hearing. Because if God's not said anything, you've got nothing to lean on. And that's why people make the mistake of thinking, "My faith didn't work. I saw this terrible situation and I believed for it really strongly. I believed, and it didn't work." But because you see, what they're not doing is leaning on what God has said to them in that situation. They're just hoping in their hearts that it will go away. And then they get disappointed with God. And I believe that the Lord wants to sow a message of faith, because actually I do believe it's time to stop the thinking, although I've spoken to it before about we're keeping the well open. It's time to start looking at the promises that God has over this congregation and starting to step into them. There are seasons to walk with him in the wilderness while he trains us and teaches us. And then there are seasons to step by faith into the promises that he has said, he has spoken over us. And I believe that now is a season to start leaning in faith on the promises he has for you as a congregation, but also for individuals here. And to start leaning in faith, but to lean in faith in them is not to believe for the impossible. It's not to believe against the odds. It is to hear what he is saying to us and lean into it. Over and above what we lean into in our natural abilities and our natural wisdom. So James says, if you think that faith doesn't produce works, you've got it wrong, because he says that the works are the completion of faith. Well, that seems to be in contradiction if you read on here, because it talks about faith helping us to cease from works, but they're just using the word in slightly different ways. You see, what the writer of the Hebrews is using the word works for is to do things that kind of climb you up to God. And he's saying you don't do that, you rest in that. But the point is, if you're a living being, you'll always be doing something. We all do stuff. And what James is writing about is if there's faith in us, then the stuff we do will be an evidence of that faith. Do you see the difference? You're not trying to please God by achieving something, by doing something impressive for him. But actually, if you are leaning into him, you will still be doing stuff in life, and that those stuff you will be doing will be reflecting the fact that you are leaning into him. See, and so faith starts because we've heard, and faith is made complete as we act. So acts of faith are not the same as acts of work. Acts of work are trying to make God like us, to give us something because we've done something for him. Acts of faith are leaning into his faithfulness, and the things that we do out of the flow of that are incredible, because what they do is they release the energy of heaven into the earthly situation that we have. And so we can look at the promises of God and we can try and achieve them in the flesh, like Abraham did. You know, you're going to be the father of a multitude of peoples. And he thinks, I'm old, my wife is old, maybe I'll get with my with my servant girl and produce a baby that way. And you see, you try it in the flesh and we make a real mess of things. And because we can try and attempt the things that God has spoken to us in the flesh, but to lean into him is to say, well, I put these things in your hand, but I will live life as if they're going to be true without trying to force them to happen. We let him make the way. The illustration I often use, but I just believe it's a real word for today, so I'm speaking around faith. So even if you've heard these bits before, doesn't matter. Is, you know, that when God speaks, in scripture, is like seed that's going to produce fruit. And I think about, you know, if you're in that situation where you get pregnant, it's like, you know, one day you're going to have a baby, but what you don't do is try and make it come too quickly. In fact, the last thing you should do if you're pregnant is try and make the baby come. But what you do is you start, you know, painting the spare bedroom to make a nursery, and you start getting knitted booties and all of those things. Because if you didn't, you're being irresponsible to the truth that is on its way. Does that make sense? See, when you do that, when you start collecting knitted booties and things like that, it is in faith for the child that is coming. They're not here yet, but you're not trying to force them to come, but you are making a space and you're preparing. You're leaning into the truth of what has been spoken. And so there is a season and a place, and I want to speak it into this congregation, and to start to lean into the promises that he has for you as a community, but also as a group of individuals here. Because for each of you here, the Lord has spoken. You may not realize it, because sometimes he has spoken, but we haven't heard, which is why Jesus says, if you've got ears, please hear. Because, you know, it's possible to have ears and not hear. Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice, but he still needs to say, but if you've got ears, you've got to listen. And there are sometimes times where God has spoken things over us, but we're just not very clear on it. In fact, I don't believe there's anybody in this room that God hasn't spoken creative words that are good for you into your lives. Our problem is sometimes tuning out the other noise and actually seeing and hearing what it is that he has said to us. But as we get a sense of what that might be, we can start to lean into it. And this is a season. I want to release it in this congregation for leaning in faith on the words that God has spoken to you. And as you do it in your individual lives, what you'll see is also as a community, that truth will start to emerge. You know, it says in the Old Testament that the world can't stand it when a slave becomes a king. And yet, the strange truth of the New Testament is that is exactly what we all are. We were slaves to sin, and we have been made royalty, a royal priesthood in his kingdom. He has taken us out of slavery and put us to royalty. And there are ways of behaving in slavery which are all about, it's always down to me. Nobody's going to look out for me. I've got this framework. I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. And in this framework, I'll kind of get what I can, because nobody's going to look after me. Whereas royalty just expects that things will flow to them. Which is why in the verse I've just read, it immediately says, you see, it's by faith that we enter into his rest. It's not that royalty doesn't do anything, but they know very naturally the things they do should happen easily. If I want it this way, then it should go that way. And so by faith we enter into that place of rest, where it's not that we're struggling anymore to achieve something, but the things that we are doing are releasing the purposes of heaven through us, and things start to happen around us. Later on in Hebrews it says, you know, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And I just so wish the Church of Jesus Christ would hear that verse properly. You know, without faith is impossible to please him, and yet we try all the time, don't we? Have you ever done that, where, you know, if you don't feel very kind of good in front of God, the thing we do is we will make massive sacrifices for him, you know? So I don't feel close to him, so what do? Well, I'll read my Bible a lot more this week than I did last week. You know, I'll give a lot more in the offering on Sunday than I did last week. We're making sacrifices, and yet that is what we fall into, you see, when we're not hearing. Because it's what went wrong for Saul and went right for David. Samuel says to Saul, you know, that to have obeyed would have been better than sacrifice. To have listened would have been better than all of this ram's fat that you've just put on the altar. That's what he says. To listen is better than the fat of rams, which is what he was offering. That if your ears are tuned in, we're hearing what he's saying, then you can lean into those things. We don't try and force them to happen, but we lean in the truth of them. So we prepare life as if those things are going to come, as if they're going to happen. And our simple acts of faith release the purposes of heaven onto earth. And so what we find is, next thing we know, even though we only had faith like a mustard seed, the mountain has just moved. See, that's where actually I was going to start from. You know, in Luke 17, the disciples come and say, Jesus, help us increase our faith. And Jesus says this weird thing, because he says, you know, actually if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say, actually in Luke he says to the mulberry bush, you know, you could say to the mulberry bush, be rooted up and thrown in the sea. And you know, that can feel very condemning, can't it? Because, you know, you think the things that you've wanted in prayer, and you go, I'm going to really believe for them, I'm really going to believe for them, and then they haven't happened. You think, oh my goodness, I haven't even got faith like a mustard seed, because it didn't work for me. But you see, he's not saying that. The point he's saying is that if you're asking, how does my faith increase, you start leaning on the little bit you've got. Unless you start leaning on the little bit you've got, you won't ever find how it grows. And you see, very often, you see, we're just looking at the enormous problem, and we think the little bit I've got is not big enough to shift that, so we don't lean on the little bit we've got. And so maybe sometimes the little bit you've got is not that big, massive problem can go away, but what I do know is that God cares for me in this situation, and so somehow I will let go of my anxiety. And as I let go of my anxiety, what I'm doing is I'm just leaning on that little bit of faith I do have, which is that he actually cares for me and loves me in this situation. He doesn't want me to feel the stress of it. So I lean on that. And the next thing I find is I've got a little bit more faith. And because actually that little simple act has released something of heaven into us. And so now we have a bit more. And so actually we believe for a bit more. Actually, it's more than just that. I think he can change this. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I think he can. I'm going to start thinking as if he can. And then suddenly we find that there's more and more, and actually the situation is changing. And that's been my own personal experience of walking by faith. Is it's better to lean in the truth of what you've heard than it is to try and be religious and pretend you've heard something you haven't. Okay, but we all feel that, because we're trying to, we're trying to project, aren't we a great Christian? We'll look at the situation, and here's the cancer, you know. Well, God, I know that Jesus can heal cancer, so I'm going to have faith that he gets rid of this cancer. But we haven't necessarily heard that yet. See, so we're actually acting in presumption. What we've got to say is, this is a horrible situation. And as I engage with the Lord, I hear something from him. And something in my heart says, you know, this is wrong. This is not from God. This is from the enemy. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. So I believe, this is the word I have, is that this is not a good situation. This is not on God's heart. I believe that. I can pray now with faith that this should go. I don't know how it's going to go, but I start praying that way. And as I do, and in that dialogue, I might hear more from the Lord. And as I hear more from the Lord, I work with it. And so as I lean on the Lord in those truths, and I think, and so I say, well, I believe the Lord wants these tumours to go, because I felt it. I've heard him. So I speak to the tumours and say, go. And what we're doing is we are acting in faith on what we're hearing. Faith comes by that hearing, as we lean on that truth. But so often, because we're trying to project the persona of being really good Christians, we just come in and we know what we ought to believe, and we just go, I'm going to go for it, I really believe. But actually it comes out of the dialogue, as he walks us through. And the most remarkable things happen. And you read the testimonies, and we have experiences, even in this room, of people who have seen the most remarkable things that the Lord has done. You know, I just was reading during the week one of Heidi Baker's stories, and she talked about a food multiplication miracle. And if you read, and she wasn't describing it the same way I am now, but if, basically what happened was she just knew that the children needed something to eat, and they only had about 10 pieces of chicken, and there were, you know, about 100 kids. So she had no idea what she should do, but she knew, she just prayed for it, thanked for it, and started doling it out, and the thing multiplies. But if you read her story, she didn't know that that was going to happen. She just knew that the Lord wanted them not to go hungry. And she just thought, it has to be down to you then, Lord, so I know you don't want to be hungry, so at least act as if we're going to be able to feed them. And at the end of the time, there was enough food for everybody. And the Lord had fed them. You see, it's not that she knew, you know, right now the chicken is going to multiply. Just simply, I know that God doesn't want them hungry. That's not his purposes. So she starts acting on that basis. And something is released. And I just want to say that we are, as a congregation, now this is a time to say we are on the edge of those promises. This is a time, just as that challenge is given in Hebrews, to respond in faith to the words he has spoken over you as a congregation. And the Lord has said that my faith in what God is going to do here, okay, this isn't supposed to be rude, is not based on you. It's sorry, but this might be helpful as well. It's not based on me. It is based on the fact that I am absolutely convinced that what you are going for as a church is something that the Lord has spoken over the Sound of Slough. So you are in line in terms of your dreams and visions with something I believe he has spoken for this town. Therefore, my faith is in what he has spoken over this town, which is he wants to see a large worshipping community that reflects the revelation of heaven, where every nation, tribe and tongue in this multicultural town finds a seat sitting next to each other to say, but you know what? Jesus is everything to each of us. And he is, this town here has a calling for resource churches that are examples, that speak prophetically as a sign to the world and to the heavenlies. You see. And so it is because I absolutely believe that that is the Lord's purposes for this town. And I know that it is the heart and the words that he has spoken into the foundations of this community. And the two might feel like they're a million miles apart, but actually, you see, you've got something to lean on. This is who you said we should be. So we're going to lean on that. And this is what you want in this town, so we'll lean on that. And the two will start matching. So you can't force it. You can't suddenly be next week what you're not today. But we start acting as if that's the truth. So maybe, you know, part of the congregation's kind of like plan is to start buying a new national flag every month. I don't know, I'm just throwing thoughts, ideas out, you know, that you can start to put up, say prophetically, when somebody walks in from some tiny little country, like Burkina Faso or something, you know, and there's a flag for them already here. I don't know, I'm saying, these are the ways in which we behave as if it will be true. You know, you could wait for someone to come in from one of those places and then buy a flag, but maybe we should just do it anyway. And this isn't, you know, I'm saying this isn't a strategy for you, Tom. I'm just kind of giving the examples. We start to do those things. Yeah. When I come back, there's going to be a flag from Burkina Faso, isn't there? Yeah, okay. I have no idea what the flag from Burkina Faso looks like. but the Lord will do it. The Lord wants. That's the body he sees in this town. He doesn't just see one church here, of course. He sees loads, but actually within it, There is a place for that congregation that is in the hearts of folks here to see. And Jesus says, you know, not many of us, or no, Paul says it, not many of us are wise in the world's eyes, not many of us are kind of powerful. But actually, you see, if we are connected to Jesus, then we can change the world around us. We really can change the world around us. I don't know if you noticed the atmosphere changing this morning in the worship. You see, one of the things I really want us to become aware of is the spiritual nature of who we are. We get so used to it, we take it for granted. But you know, I know people from almost every walk of life and profession who have testimonies of, at some strange moment in their career, someone has said to them, you know, when you're around, the atmosphere is different. I know people who work in theatre, people who work in music, people who work in offices, people who work in manual labour, who have all had that said to them. Because it's true, actually, even when it's not being said, you know, for the one time it got said, there are probably 100 times people have felt it, but not told you. Because we carry the atmosphere of heaven. As we, the image I gave earlier, as I think it's, if you get a guitar string and the bass one is an E, you know, you need to tune an A, so you put your finger down on the A position and you pluck it. And if the A string is kind of in tune, it will resonate. It will pick up energy from the resonating E string and it will start to vibrate. But if it's not in tune, it won't. You see? And so when we bring ourselves, when we tune ourselves to the sound of heaven, we bring our hearts in line with what heaven is doing. That's why to obey is better than sacrifice, because in doing that, what we're doing is we're bringing our lives into line with what God is saying he's going to do. So if God is saying over you, he's going to do these things through you. If he says of you that he's made you to a mother of people who aren't your children, say, something like that. You know, as we bring our lives into alignment with that, it's like we pick up the energy from heaven to be it. We pick up the energy from heaven to be it. And we carry that energy, and other people who will start to feel it. They kind of almost pick the vibration up from you. You change the atmosphere. I think what we'll do is as we get to the end, as we do a bit of ministry at the end, to kind of almost go through an experiment in feeling heaven. Because I think the Lord is really wanting his people to get used to the authority that they actually carry. There's a great verse, we've been working through Acts in MAD, and there's a great verse where after Peter has just raised up the man born lame, and his first words are, he says, "It is not by our own power or piety that this man is made well, but it is by faith in the name of Jesus." And I love that verse. You see, it's not by my charisma of personality that I kind of, by positive thinking, I got him to believe he could walk, and he did, you know. It's not by my power. And it's not by my piety. It's not because I'm actually that holy. You know, Peter made messes of things the whole time, didn't he? You see, it's not by our power. It's not by our piety. But it is by the faith we have in the name of Jesus to work through us. I'm going to lean on that. And I don't have to be too holy, and I don't have to be too powerful. But as I lean on the name of Jesus, and it's an odd phrase, isn't it, the name of Jesus, because it's not the kind of thing we use in everyday English nowadays. You know, I come in the name of this person. But what it means is it's that he has become this identity in me. I carry his badge on me. Just, you know, like your police badges. I've got, and I know the authority that is in this that I carry on me. And so I lean into this authority. And it's on that basis, says Peter, that this man has been given full health this morning. And I believe the Lord wants to do some of that this morning too. You know, because he wants us to understand that we have, through faith, the ability to release the energy and atmosphere of heaven. As we walk, leaning on the truth of what he has said into us, and how he sees us, and how he believes in us. So Father, just as we come to this stage this morning, I just want to ask that we're going to reconnect our hearts with heaven. It was fantastic worship leading this morning from Scott, but we don't actually need the music. The music helps, but actually our hearts can tune right into heaven. You know, we know things that, if some of you, just as we're doing, going through this exercise, we're going to try and connect with heaven. Jesus says it's totally possible. He referred to himself as Jacob's ladder, which was this ladder that connected heaven and earth. And he said to his disciples, he said, "You will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You know, we can actually, and the funny thing is, we're actually angels too, because angel just means messenger of God. Some of them are supernatural, but some of them are natural. So we go up the ladder just like angels come down it. You know, we go up and connect with heaven, and messengers come down and connect with us, all on the life of Jesus. And so we can connect with heaven. And we do so very often with simple things, that thanksgiving. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in his heart. We enter his courts with praise. As we start to thank him, we start to become really grateful to him. You know, there's a difference between giving thanks and being grateful, isn't it? You know, giving thanks leads you into gratitude. Sometimes you don't realize how grateful you are until you start to give thanks. So just as we're sitting here, just in our hearts, just quietly, and sometimes it's useful just to pull two or three things to say thank you to Jesus for. You know, there might be lots of things you're seeking him for answers on, but right now it's the things you can say thank you to him for that take us into his courts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And as you start to thank him, just kind of become aware of what goes on in your own heart. And Paul says that, you know, as we become mature, we have the ability to discern good and evil in our bodies. And as I talk about, you know, the atmosphere of heaven comes through us, as we start to come into a place where thankfulness is engaging us with heaven, as we look to see Jesus in the minds of our imaginations, sometimes you even feel something different in your body. That is the beginnings of the sounds of heaven resonating through our faith. And that Hebrews 11 verse, without faith it's impossible to please him, but he who comes to God, that's what we're doing, must believe that God is there, because otherwise you wouldn't go, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So just in that place where we're dialoguing with heaven, start to know the truth, that actually lean on the truth, he wants to reward those who seek him, who bring their issues to him. So we come with thanksgiving and gratitude, but now he wants to reward you for your faith. So I just want to encourage you to bring your situations up before the Lord. He wants to reward you for coming to him. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. So bring those issues, those things that, you're thankful for what he has done, but here are the things that you need something to happen in. And I just believe the Lord wants to speak back, to give you simple words to lean on in those situations. Those situations that you're bringing to him, he wants to give you a word to lean on, so you can actually respond in faith to that situation. Not just hoping it goes away, but actually having a word from the Lord to lean on about that situation. And I believe the Lord is, this is an odd one because I kind of pretty much know most people here, but I felt the Lord was saying around just the issue of fruitfulness and children, that there is a breakthrough. There is a breakthrough coming. There's a word to lean on. Yep, breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. And I believe he's saying to someone around a situation they just brought to him, that he's already put the solution to that in you. And right now what he's doing is not changing the situation, but he is breaking off from you an assignment of making you a victim from the enemy. And actually that resonates with what you just felt he's saying. It's not so much that he's changing the external situation, but he's breaking off from you something the enemy tried to put on you. That you're not a victim. You are a victor in Jesus. And his spirit is in you. And then someone who's bringing to the Lord a medical condition that they've had words from the doctor on. And he reminds you of that verse where it says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fear there is not a kind of a petrified, it's that kind of honour and respect for his word. That fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And although you've had very erudite and clever people telling you your situation, he wants you to keep it in front of him. Keep it as a prayer matter in faith with him. And what his verdict is in that situation is what really matters. His verdict is what really matters. Yeah, I'm gonna get you. And again, because no one needs to respond and say what these things are, but I just felt there's someone here who's in a, who's bought a situation which they know they're a little bit compromised in, because they feel, I haven't got the money to sort this out properly, and so it's being done kind of half-heartedly, and it may be to do with insurances and things like that. And just the Lord is saying, lean on me and do what you should do. Let me provide. Let me provide. Lean on me to make this situation right. Even though you think you haven't got the resources. And I will provide. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, the reason I want this not to be a big thing today is because the Lord is wanting to retrain his church. He's wanting to retrain his church to learn to lean in faith in everyday little things. Jesus says that it's when we're faithful with the little things that we get trusted with much. But there's something in the religious spirit that we take on that categorizes things that are worth having faith for and things that you don't need faith for. Okay. And so the problem is, because we've already said these little things don't need faith, we never learn to be faithful in those little things, and therefore we don't know how to increase our faith to the big things. Does that make sense? And actually what the Lord is doing, and I believe is part of the seed change that is going on in the church, is he wants to retrain us to learn to have faith in those little things so that we can be faithful in those things. Then we will have faith. Because that's actually the way, although I didn't start there, Luke 17, the question from the disciples is, how do we increase our faith? Well, you've got to lean on mustard seed faith if you want to have mountain moving faith. Okay? We need to have faith in those little things that sometimes we think we don't need faith for, we'll just do them in the flesh. But because we do them in the flesh, we never learn the lessons. And sorry, I'm just realizing as I'm standing here, that is the whole point of the preach, because that is why the children of Israel didn't make it into the promised land, Jesus says, or God says. He said, well, at the point they're there and they fail on that test, he says, you know, I've already given you 9 opportunities and you failed each of those. All those 9 opportunities were smaller than the one they were facing. But on those 9 occasions, they had failed to lean in faith on what God had said. And now, of course, they weren't ready for the big one. You hear what I'm saying? The Lord is changing his church. He is breaking off the patterns of religion, which are, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. Because the alternative to religion is to be led by faith. It's the just who walk by faith. The righteous live by faith. There are only really 2 options if you want to live a pious life. You've got to live by a list of rules that somebody else has made for you, or you've got to hear what the Lord is saying and learn to lean on it, which is walking by faith. And we need to become so much more expert at leaning on those little words. And what we've done as a little exercise this afternoon is just something you can do at home. Just connect ourselves to heaven, let Jesus speak very simply into each situation. Learn to lean on it. Learn to release the purposes of heaven by leaning in faith, resting in faith on what he's just said. Doing something that shows that you really do believe in it. You know, that's why it's completed by a work. But that work itself may not be the very thing that actually kind of looks like the solution, but it somehow it releases the energy, it releases the power to do it. And I want to prophesy into this body of people that this time next year, for your 4th birthday, you will feel like you've crossed the Jordan and you're taking the territory. And the truth was, the taking of the territory still takes some years, okay? But you've crossed the Jordan and you're into the promises. And that is my prophecy for year 4 of this congregation. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll hand over to you.